Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Switching to Mint Mobile is the easiest way to save in 2024. Wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan. To get this new customer offer, go to mintmobile.com/Merle. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a road edition of Charts with Dan. You go where the movies are, which is what I'm doing, so I can get a review to you tomorrow, actually, of, I think, one of the most anticipated movies of the year that I can't wait to talk about. Apologies for the quality of this video. Sometimes your gear doesn't work exactly the way that you want to on the road, so this is just using the FaceTime camera on my MacBook. So, not the best looking, but it's going to be kind of a short episode, so that's okay. I'm also sure that it's great to see the quality of the backdrop here. This is what I like to call the beigest hotel room I've ever been in. Not bougiest, beigest. This entire room, you can't really see, is just brown. So we're going to liven that up with some charts, and let's look first at the top five for this past weekend. Now, these are the dreaded estimates because this was a holiday weekend, the President's Day weekend here in the United States, so final numbers aren't out yet. We're going to look first at the three-day weekend, which saw Bob Marley: One Love triumph as the number one movie with $28.6 million for the three-day weekend. Although, look at that total, $46.4 million through Sunday. So we're going to talk a lot more about Bob Marley. There's really just no good news from Adam Webb at all. The reviews were terrible, and the box office was not good as well. $15.35 million for the three-day weekend estimated, with a $23.5 million total through Sunday, about half of what Bob Marley made. Argyle drops around 22% in week three for a total just under $4.9 million and a domestic total at around $36.6 million. Migration actually had a 29.8% increase in business from last weekend. I guess a lot of people bringing their kids to the movies over the holiday. $3.8 million and a $114.8 million domestic total through Sunday. The Chosen Season 4, episodes 4 through 6, the next installment of this season, debuts in fifth place at $3.6 million. It's made $4.38 million through Sunday. Then we have Wonka in its 10th week of release, a 15.2% increase in business and a $3.5 million total. The Beekeeper comes in seventh place, just a 5.4% loss in business from the previous weekend and a $3.2 million total, a $59.8 million domestic total for The Beekeeper through Sunday. Anyone but you, I actually thought that this movie would see an increase in business over Valentine's Day, but I guess it sort of peaked a little bit before then, a 9.3% loss from the weekend before and a $2.4 million total, although its midweek business on Valentine's Day proper wasn't too bad. Lisa Frankenstein drops to ninth place. It only dropped 43.4% in its second weekend, but that just tells you how bad last weekend was at the box office. $2 million and it goes from second to ninth place. And then in 10th place, we have Land of Bad, which was in just over 1,000 theaters. It made $1.835 million for the Friday through Sunday window. This is from director William Eubank, who also made The Signal, Underwater, and Paranormal Activity Next of Kin. And Russell Crowe just said, hey, you know what? I'm going to keep working with the Hemsworths because we have two of them in this movie, Liam and Luke, alongside Russell Crowe. Looking at the four-day President's Day weekend, Bob Marley comes in first place at $34.1 million for a total through its entire run thus far, estimated at just over $52 million. Madam Web comes in second at just over $18 million and a $26.2 million domestic total. Then we have Argyle at $5.75 million, Migration at $5.1 million. Monday's box office puts Wonka in fifth place at $4.32 million, with The Chosen falling to sixth place at $3.945 million. Then The Beekeeper in seventh place, Anyone But You in eighth, Lisa Frankenstein in ninth, and Land of Bad in 10th place. So Bob Marley: One Love over-indexing. It was a hit with audiences. It got an A cinema score, even though reviews weren't particularly great for the movie. It connected with audiences and gave the box office a nice little shot in the arm, especially because of the disappointing performance of Madam Web. And looking at the best musical biopic opening weekends, and this is the best that I could find, the data is actually pretty spread out on this. Bob Marley One Love scores a top five opening weekend all-time domestically for a musical biopic. Straight Outta Compton holds the record back in 2015 at $60.2 million, followed by Bohemian Rhapsody back in 2018 at just over $50 million. Then we had Elvis's opening in June of 2022 at $31.2 million. Bob Marley One Love probably would have come in third place had it not opened on a Wednesday, because that $28.6 million is its opening weekend, but doesn't include the first 2 days of release. This is how records are kept, though. And in fifth place is All Eyes on Me back in June of 2017, the only one of these that wasn't a particular box office hit. It had a huge opening weekend compared to its final domestic gross of $26.4 million, but then had a massive fall off the weekend after. Of course, the other big story this past weekend was Madame Web, which has become the newest punching bag for just about everybody right now. And if you saw my review, you'll see that I didn't think it was a particularly good film either. I thought it was an exceptionally poor film in many aspects, and it is not measuring up to anything in the Spider-Man universe. As a matter of fact, even if we take Spider-Man out of the equation and give you the non-Spider-Man Sony Spider-Verse opening weekends domestically, Venom Let There Be Carnage remains number one back in October of 2021. It's such an anomaly that it was able to open so high as theaters were just opening back up. I think it was the excitement with Spider-Man No Way Home. $90 million back in 2021, the highest opening for a Sony non-Spider-Man Spider-Verse film, followed by Venom back in 2018 at $80.2 million, Morbius in April 2022 at $39 million, and then we have Madame Web. Its first three-day weekend goes in the books as a $15.35 million opening. Of course, Kraven the Hunter is TBD. That one won't come out until August, but it should be noted that Madame Web did open on a Wednesday. When you look at these numbers, we're basically comparing days 3, 4, and 5 of Madame Web's release with days 1, 2, and 3 of the other movies, which isn't particularly fair to Madame Web. So we have estimated numbers at least through 6 days of release. Let's see if we can even out the playing field and look at these movies with all the data that we have, and yeah, it still looks terrible for Madame Web. Through their first 6 days of release, both Venom films had already broken $100 million, Morbius was at $45.5 million, and Madame Web is at $26.2 million. So even by the lowered expectations of Morbius, it's still not performing well at the box office, and depending on how Kraven the Hunter does, could very well be the basement dweller in the non-Spider-Man Spider-Verse that Sony has been attempting to build. Looking at movies that dropped out of the top 10 this past weekend, Mean Girls drops out after 5 weeks, American Fiction drops out after 3 weeks, The Chosen Season 4 Episodes 1 through 3 was pulled from theaters because Episodes 4 through 6 debuted, so it's out after 2 weeks, and the re-release of Dune is out of the top 10 after 1 week. That was a limited engagement. Looking at the movies that lost the most theaters this past weekend, Mean Girls lost about half of its theaters. It lost 1,270 theaters. It's got about 1,350 remaining. Anyone but you, I guess a lot of chains were just waiting for Valentine's Day to pass, because it lost about 785 theaters, although it's still playing in just over 2,000. American Fiction lost 659 of its theaters. It's now out of wide release and 800 theaters remaining. Poor Things also lost about 600 theaters, 610 to be exact. It's also out of wide release and is playing in about 680 theaters nationwide. And then The Boys and the Boat lost about half of its theaters, 521 of them. It's also out of wide release and 586 theaters nationwide. Looking at what I call our box office road to recovery, or lack thereof, the blue line is the weekend average for the years 2015 through 2019, the red is the weekend average for 2021 through 2023, and the dotted black line is what we've done so far this year. And as we were last week, we're pretty much still just basically where we have been when you average out the weekend since theaters reopened starting back in 2021. The highest grossing film for the 2021 through 2023 window was Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania, which opened on this weekend last year. And then the highest grossing weekend for the 2015 through 2019 window was the $200 million debut of Black Panther back in 2018. Looking at movies that closed this week, these are all films that did not report grosses. Now, it's possible that one or two of these may report a little bit late because of the holiday, but even if these movies aren't closed this week, they will be soon. Napoleon didn't report any grosses this weekend, so I've got it closing after 12 weeks. The Boy and the Heron also not reporting grosses. I have it closing after 10 weeks. Then we have some Christmas releases, Ferrari and The Color Purple, both Christmas openers, both closing after 7 weeks. Two disappointing movies also from 2024, The Book of Clarence and ISS, also not reporting grosses this weekend. The Book of Clarence was open for 5 weeks. ISS was in theaters for just 4 weeks. These are the top five films internationally, so that's outside of the US and Canada, and the Chinese market continues to dominate with their slate of films that were put into theaters to celebrate the new year a couple weeks ago. YOLO is at number one at $84.3 million, followed by Pegasus 2 at $78.8 million, Article 20 at $68.4 million, Boonie Bear's Time Twist at $50.4 million, and then the only non-Chinese release to break the international top five was Bob Marley One Love, which made $29 million internationally. When you combine the international grosses with our domestic grosses, we get the top five worldwide, but it's still almost entirely Chinese films, with YOLO at number one dropping 23.5% from last weekend, Pegasus 2 dropping 24.7% from last weekend, Article 20 actually increasing in business almost 50%. Bob Marley One Love opens to $57.6 million worldwide in fourth place, and then Boonie Bear's Time Twist only loses about 17%. And the performance of all these Chinese films means that Madam Web doesn't even post a top five worldwide opening gross. There are a lot of other charts that I want to look at, but before we do, I'm going to take a question from the Mint Mobile Hotline, which has been a great addition to the show. And we were talking about Anyone But You and its box office. Let's take a somewhat related question from Madison up in our neighbor to the north, Canada.
Hi, Dan. This is Madison from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. I am an OG subscriber and absolutely love your show. I am curious on your perspective on rom-coms, how you think an ideal model of how to release a rom-com nowadays in order for it to have the most success. And then on the flip side, what do you actually think that the studios will do, if anything? So thanks for taking my question, Dan. Again, continue doing what you're doing and hope to hear my question on your show. Thank you.
Thanks, Madison, for that question. And that's been something that people have been talking about. Is the rom-com coming back? Do actors want to return to that genre? Because so many actors enjoy making those movies. And really, when you say what is the ideal model to make a rom-com, or, you know, if I were the king of Hollywood, what would I do? Well, I think number one, you make it responsibly budget-wise. I'm talking $40 to $80 million, depending on who you want to cast as the leads. When you're casting the leads, I think you have to have two people that have actual chemistry, not just two big names, because that is so much of the success of the rom-com, is what is the chemistry between the two leads? And if you don't have that, then I don't think that the rom-com works. So you make it responsibly, you cast it well, and then I think you have to put it out at a time of the year when people have a chance to find it, which really is just about any time except for the middle of the summer, when turnover is so quick with movies leaving theaters. The thing with rom-coms, especially now, is that people might not show up the first week, but if it's good and it's got good word of mouth, then they're going to show up in subsequent weeks. And that's why I think Anyone But You was such a strong idea to release during the holiday season, because here we are in February and it's made, I think, over 10 times its opening weekend. Not I think, it has made over 10 times its opening weekend, and is one of the sleeper success stories of the early part of the year. So I think that's what the ideal strategy is. As far as what I think Hollywood is going to do, I think it's what they've done with most mid-budget movies lately, which is to continue making them for streaming because it's a low investment and you can probably bring in subscribers. But we are also moving away from that mentality, the idea of throwing everything at the wall and just, you know, making all these movies just to get subscribers. The market has changed, the expectations from investors have changed, and with the success of Anyone But You, as well as other films in the genre, it could very well be that we'll start seeing more rom-coms pop up in theaters, because the one thing, if anything, is consistent in Hollywood is that whatever is old will inevitably be new again. Thanks to Madison for that question, and if you want to call in with your question for the Mint Mobile Hotline, you can call in at +1-323-863-3311. We'd love to hear from you. And I also want to thank the people that make the Mint Mobile Hotline possible, Mint Mobile. Madam Web, Bob Marley, Dune, so many of the movies that we talk about on this channel are wildly unpredictable at the box office, and they leave a lot of studio executives sweating, worrying about whether they'll be worth the money. But something that's always worth the money is switching to Mint Mobile, because right now, wireless plans are just $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan. People have budgets, just like movies do. Now imagine getting the return of a Spider-Man movie on a Madam Web budget, something that Sony's definitely not going to experience. Whatever you're paying, I can just about guarantee that it's more than $15 a month for less than unlimited talk and text, plus high-speed data, which is what Mint Mobile will give you. At Mint, you can choose from 3, 6, or 12-month plans, and they give you the best rate for you and your family, and at Mint, families start at just two lines. Plus, you can use your own number and your existing phone. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/Merle. That's mintmobile.com/Merle. Cut your wireless bill to just $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Merle. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. All right, let's continue on by looking at some other charts from this past weekend. This is the per theater average list. Now, there could be some smaller films that have not reported due to the holiday, but this is the information that we have right now, which is that Bob Marley One Love posted the best per theater average at $8,081 in each of its 3,539 theaters. Perfect Days, a contender for the Best International Film Oscar, comes in second place at $6,941 in 34 theaters. Then we have Madam Web, bringing in $3,825 per theater and about 500 theaters more than Bob Marley played, but it just wasn't as much of a draw. It was playing in 4,013 locations this past weekend. Then we have the 2024 Oscar-nominated shorts, which brought in just over $2,000 in 375 theaters. I actually have a whole day planned later this week to go watch all of them. And then we have Ennio, the documentary about legendary composer Ennio Morricone, playing in 3 theaters and bringing in $1,777 per theater. These were the top 5 films playing in limited release, so this is 1,000 theaters or fewer this past weekend. At number 1 was the 2024 Oscar shorts in 375 theaters, bringing in $765,000 total. Then we had The Taste of Things from France in over 500 theaters, a big expansion from last weekend. It brought in over $600,000 total. The Zone of Interest comes in 3rd place. It actually got rid of some theaters this past weekend, so it looks like it has gone as wide as it's going to go. It brought in $473,000 in 443 theaters. Then we have Out of Darkness, still playing in 865 theaters, bringing in just under $350,000. And Perfect Days, playing in 34 theaters, brings in $236,000. No change on the 2024 limited release top 10 grossers. This is all tickets sold as of January 1st. American Fiction and Poor Things remain locked in at the top with their run before they expanded to wide release. Then we have Fighter from India in 3rd place. Although The Zone of Interest is picking up ground, it's at about $6.3 million in 4th place. Hanuman is in 5th place. Origin is in 6th place. All of Us Strangers is in 7th. Gunter Karam is in 8th. Queen Rock Montreal is in 9th. And Out of Darkness is in 10th place, gaining very quickly on Queen. Looking at the 2024 annual domestic box office, so this is movies released in 2024, Mean Girls remains number 1 for now, although if Bob Marley One Love keeps up its pace, and all indications are that it's going to, it could well be the number 1 movie of the year until Dune Part 2 comes out. And, you know, you never know, the box office is unpredictable. Right now, though, Mean Girls is at number 1, The Beekeeper is in 2nd place, Bob Marley One Love debuts on the chart at 3rd place with its $52 million total since opening last Wednesday. Argyle's in 4th, Night Swim moves down 2 spots to number 5, Madam Web is in 6th with its $26.2 million gross, The Chosen Season 4, Episodes 1 through 3, drops 2 spots to number 7 at $13.1 million, Lisa Frankenstein moves up 2 spots to number 8 with just over $8 million domestically, Fighter moves down 3 spots to number 9, ISS moves down 3 spots to number 10, and Honeyman and The Book of Clarence both drop off the 2024 domestic top 10 altogether. Looking at the most tickets sold since January 1st, Wonka remains the number 1 movie of the year at $77.6 million, followed by Mean Girls in 2nd place, Migration in 3rd, The Beekeeper moves up 1 spot to number 4, Anyone But You drops down 1 spot to number 5, Bob Marley One Love debuts on the list at number 6, Aquaman and the Last Kingdom moves down to number 7, Argyle moves up to number 8, Night Swim moves down to number 9, The Boys in the Boat moves down to number 10, and Poor Things drops off the list altogether. And then looking at the 2024 worldwide box office, as best we know it, as always happens because China releases a lot of movies into the market right around the New Year holiday, this list is dominated right now by Chinese releases. YOLO has posted a gross of just over $400 million, followed by Pegasus 2 at $358.1 million, Boonie Bear's Time Twist at $207.7 million, Article 20 at over $200 million, so the top 4 films right now all from China. The Beekeeper moves down to number 5 at $143.7 million, Mean Girls moves down to number 6 at $101.8 million. Bob Marley One Love has already banked $81 million worldwide after a little less than a week in theaters. Argyle moves down to number 8 at $77.5 million. Madam Web debuts at number 9 with just $51.9 million worldwide in its debut. And Night Swim moves down 3 spots to number 10. Fighter and Son of a Rich move out of the top 10 altogether. As we do almost every week, I want to end the show with a look at a weekend in box office history, and we're not going to go back too far. We're just going to go back 9 years to 2015, but the reason I picked this weekend is because it was another President's Day weekend that saw a Dakota Johnson film squaring off with a film by Matthew Vaughn, much like we're seeing with Madame Web and Argylle, although I would say in both cases they were much happier with the results. This is the weekend of February 13th through 16th, 2015, President's Day weekend, which also included Valentine's Day, and saw the debut of 50 Shades of Grey, making $93 million over the four-day weekend on its way to a $166.1 million total. This was, of course, the breakout role for Dakota Johnson. Kingsman: The Secret Service opened that same President's Day weekend to $41.7 million on its way to a $128.2 million total. And the opening four-day weekend for Kingsman posted more than Argylle has made 9 years later after multiple weeks in release. The SpongeBob movie, Sponge Out of Water, had a great second weekend at $40 million. It made $162.9 million domestically. American Sniper, in its eighth week of release, but only I think its fourth or fifth week of wide release, brought in $18.7 million on its way to a final gross of $350 million. And then Jupiter Ascending, oh my goodness, what a movie. Its second week posted $10.7 million on its way to a $47.3 million domestic gross. Very disappointing for that film. In a way, though, it was the Madame Web of its time. It was definitely the punching bag of the box office this weekend 9 years ago. Because we're less than 10 years away and there isn't a whole lot of separation, I'm going to skip the adjusted for inflation for this week, but don't worry, it'll be back on the box office flashback next week. And I'm going to wrap it up because of the environs and everything, and I don't want to annoy my hotel room neighbors too much by yammering on about numbers. Opening this week, there are a couple of movies. We have Drive Away Dolls, which was supposed to open last year but was pushed due to the strikes. We also have the Demon Slayer to the Hashira training preview for the new season, which is the last episode of season 3 and the first episode of season 4. I have my tickets booked already. And also for you Christopher Nolan fans, Tenet is getting a re-release this upcoming weekend, including some 70mm IMAX screenings. If you didn't see Tenet in theaters, this is your chance. I did see it in theaters, and I will tell you, spoiler alert, it is not any easier to understand the dialogue on the big screen than it is on a small screen. And that wraps it up for Charts with Dan from my beige den this week. Thanks to everybody who bears with me as I go on the road to try to catch these movies. And thanks to everybody who spent part of your day watching me talk about these box office numbers. Be sure to stay tuned this week. I have a lot of reviews and a lot of other stuff, not just Dune Part 2, but also a review of the Avatar The Last Airbender series, which is hitting Netflix, as well as some movie news, reviews, and all of that stuff. So be sure to stay tuned right here. Hit that subscribe button. Hit the bell to notify you when I release a video, because sometimes people don't even know when I put videos out because YouTube doesn't tell them. So make sure you're notified, because there's a lot of stuff coming out this week that I'm excited for you to see. Until next time, stay safe, and I'll see you then. Bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.